For all my women out there, I just want you to know that you are a boss. Women have to be at the table for technology and innovation. And if not, we'll simply create our own. Don't feel like you shouldn't be a part of the tech space just because there aren't many women in the room. That's exactly why we need you to be there. Girl, don't forget to rep your set in these tech spaces, aka rep your culture. You are the face of technology and the face of the future. Hey guys, super quick commercial break. So many of you are starting to launch your own businesses because you have ideas and you have time during the quarantine to develop them and to build them. So this podcast is sponsored by Wallway Technologies, a development firm that helps non-technical founders and business owners develop technology solutions from websites to web applications, mobile apps, and so much more. Send them an email at hello@wallwaytech.com or fill out their contact form on their website at wallwaytech.com.
Today, guys, we have a super special guest, Whitney Lubin. Whitney, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Whitney, you know, tell us about where you're originally from and currently based.
I am from sunny South Florida, Miami, and I'm based in Miami. So I've been basically here for my entire adult life and childhood, and apparently I have no desire to leave this nice weather. Florida, I'm just a Florida gal.
Listen, Florida is one of my absolute favorite states. I have to say it's number two after Georgia because obviously I'm from Atlanta and I believe Atlanta is just amazing, but Florida is just so beautiful. And I mean, you just can't get better than the beaches there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. But Whitney, kind of tell us about what's been your journey like through technology, starting from the first memory that you have.
So my first memory of technology, like I remember when my dad first got us our like first computer, it was a Compact. And I helped him set it up. And yeah. My parents had five kids, so I'm the oldest of five. I definitely hogged the computer, okay? I use my privilege as the eldest to its fullest, to the fullest. And yeah. I mean, I was there in the early days. Like, it's funny, but I didn't realize I was like, that a lot of the things that we were doing would become so valuable. So when MySpace came, you know, I definitely was editing my profile, trying to make it look, you know, cool, add quizzes, you know, going into the code and not really realizing that was something that could later on in the future be profitable, but just doing it because, you know, it was cool and it made my page look cool.
Yeah.
So that's my earliest memory with technology.
That's awesome. And, you know, where did you really get to learn the skill? Because you're a software developer, amongst many other titles that you have that we'll get into. But, you know, where did you get the exposure and the knowledge for actually learning how to code?
I guess fast forward, eventually after like trying to get into the tech field, but failing miserably as like a non-technical person, I made the leap to attend a boot camp here in Miami in Wynwood, Wyncode Academy. And from there, I was just like, okay, I just took the ground running because prior to that, I had been interested in tech. You know, I was in tech adjacent roles. I was trying to advocate for people to get into tech as an admissions counselor. One of my stints was working as an admissions counselor. And like, I was launching businesses and I needed technology in my business, but I wasn't the one building it. And I just kept hitting roadblocks after roadblocks. And I finally decided to make a career transition where I was like, okay, I'm going to actually go in and learn this skill that I'm searching so desperately for someone who can help me build these ideas. Let me figure out how to build it myself. And maybe that will kind of like help me leapfrog into like the next part of my journey.
That's amazing. And I love, you know, you made a switch, right? You decided to go from one industry to another because you saw a problem that, you know, you felt like you really wanted to solve. And so I know that a part of your story is that you were a part of a boot camp, right? So can you tell us about your boot camp experience and how that really helped you to build the career that you have today?
My boot camp experience, and I always tell this because I feel like it's a double-edged sword. There's a lot of people who have different experiences with boot camps, but my experience was fantastic. I loved the cohort I went and did my program with, and the wealth of information that I gained was needed when I made that decision. And the funny thing is, a lot of people who are I was in boot camp with, they had been planning, like they were comparing this boot camp with that boot camp. Yeah. It actually, for me, was a spur of the moment decision. Like I said, I had left my previous job maybe like 9 months ago because I was like, I'm going to try this entrepreneurship thing again. Like I, for the past couple of years, I was on and off working entrepreneurship. Like I could never just stay at a place. Like I got very dissatisfied if I wasn't able to kind of like create the type of change that I wanted to see in a position. So I was like, okay, I'm going to give myself a chance to do this entrepreneurship thing again. 9 months went by since I had put my letter of resignation and things just still weren't like moving in the direction that I wanted to. And so like this colleague or friend, acquaintance, I will call, you know, we were having a conversation and they're just like, you know, maybe you get a lot further if you just gave up on trying to be an entrepreneur and launch this startup, you know, just give up on it. You know, you don't have the pedigree of a person who would succeed in this space. And, you know, like, even though I was like sharing information about the various different types of people who have unconventional backgrounds who had succeeded in this space, his thing was like, you weren't in an Ivy League, you don't have a computer science degree, like it's just not going to happen, you don't come from a wealthy family, like you just don't have the, literally words were pedigree, and they stuck with me. And literally like that same week I got a call from the boot camp, like out of nowhere, and I was like, you know what, the admission counselor asked me if I wanted to come by. I was like, yeah, I said, sure. And then it just snowballed from there. Within like the next 2 weeks, I was enrolled and I was starting that boot camp. And it's been great ever since. Like it started with that first yes. Like,
I just love one of the things that I love about what you really said is that you just went for it. You just started. And I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. They have this idea, you know, maybe they were like you at that point where, you know, they were going back and forth between entrepreneurship, you know, had an idea for a startup, you know, are always having the conversation about wanting to do things. But you just went for it. You said, forget it. I'm going to apply. And someone told you that you didn't even have the pedigree, like use those exact words. And you took that and literally turned a lemon into lemonade.
Yeah. I mean, those words really cut deep when I heard them. And it was just, a twist of fate that I got that call from WinCode. And I decided, okay, you know, instead of like dwelling on, you know, the negative expectations or like the negativity of how those words made me feel, what can I do with this feeling that I have? Okay, let me go to the next thing. And that next thing ended up being the boot camp. Yeah.
That's awesome. And can you tell us about the boot camp? So what boot camp did you do? I know there are different types of boot camp. You have front end boot camps, you have back end boot camps. What language mm-hmm. did you learn?
So this was a full stack program. And so I did it full time. And so, like I said, that a couple of months prior, I had resigned from my previous job. So I have just a couple of months more of like savings left. And so I decide, okay, this boot camp, I'm gonna do it full time and just like completely dedicate myself to it. And so full time wasn't just 40 hours, it was like 60 yeah. hours a week for the boot camp, 5 days a week, even more. It was like the weekend as well. And so we did front end and back end. We did JavaScript. And then for like back end, we did Ruby Rails. And so they basically did basic HTML, CSS in the beginning. Then they went to JavaScript, and then they use frameworks like React and Rails to supplement everything.
That's awesome. And that experience, right, with your bootcamp helped prepare you to the organization that you're now are a part of, which is Code for South Florida, which is a nonprofit organization underneath the brand of Code for America. And for those of you who don't know, Code for America is a nonprofit organization that essentially they get these groups of creatives and developers from all across the country, and they come to develop civic tech solutions for local communities, right? And so Whitney is a very good example of someone who is just killing it right now with Code for South Florida, but you guys have worked on a lot of different projects that's helping folks in the Miami area. Can you tell us about some of those projects? I know you're working. I got the chance to see Whitney do a presentation at Code for America last year in October 2019. I was a keynote speaker there, and I got to see Whitney's presentation about Get Housing. And so, Whitney, can you tell us about that and all the work that you guys have put in for the last couple months?
Yeah, so Get Housing was a project that we worked in partnership with the city of Miami, and definitely like my whole team, just like brilliant innovators. Yeah. Gregory Johnson, he works with Microsoft's innovation team, Mike Sorosti at City Miami, but it was basically our way of trying to solve the issue of affordable housing in Miami. Every city has affordable housing issues, or different regions have affordable housing issues, and we were just trying to find out in what way could we utilize technology to address these problems, to make things a little bit more efficient. And so really the bulk of our project was based on research. So research that maybe the city's innovation team didn't have the resources to do, our team went in and we were able to go to the different departments who kind of like exist in silos and basically do like the user testing to kind of come up with a solution that could help fill in the gaps where they existed that caused so many people to like, yeah, for us to experience affordable housing issues in Miami. And, you know, even like the things that I learned there were things I was unaware of. And when we think about affordable housing, it's not just like Section 80, it's the whole housing, people being able to purchase a house, you know, the FHA mortgage loans, like all these things were things I was not even aware of. And so for me, college educated person, to not be aware of these resources and whatnot, I can just imagine other people who may not have access to this information, like how they are left like without the resource, you know, the affordable housing, because nobody's reaching out to them where they are. So.
And so, Whitney, if I am a resident in Miami, how does this experience work for me? So when someone comes to the website, what does it look like? You know, what are the things that you guys have done that are helping the local community members more so from the user experience perspective?
So the idea behind Get Housing was to be able to send out notifications using the open data portal that Miami is now implementing, that most cities are doing, which is so that they can just hit a request to receive notification when affordable housing is available in the city of Miami. But the thing was, how does the city of Miami gather that information about affordable housing? They don't even, at the time, that information wasn't even centralized in one area. So the bulk of the actual work that we did, we do have a website, Get Housing, and we had a prototype up. It's down for maintenance. But what ended up being adopted by the city of Miami was the back end of how that information and data would be assembled. So again, a lot of that information exists in silos. So nonprofits offer affordable housing. The city has housing certificates they give out to housing developers, like construction, like real estate developers, to produce affordable housing. But all this data is scattered everywhere. And so there was no one central place in order to put that information. And so our thing was creating that data portal where we could aggregate all that information. It's funny enough. So the one area, the real estate developers who are building this affordable housing, they were still doing their applications on paper. And one human being was scanning and going through these paper applications. Okay. You would think that it would be so much more advanced at this time, especially in a city like Miami. But literally my team and I, we went to the housing department, community development of housing department. I'm butchering the name, but it was something like that, right? And we literally had to go and get boxes because we wanted to know how many like housing developers had applied in the last month, right? And so they're like, there's the boxes of applications. We had to unstaple and scan and restaple all these applications just so we could gather up data about how many expectant housing developers were going to be creating housing in the next couple of months or whatever. And so like it was as basic and simple as that. And I think government does need help. Like the Department of Innovation, they can only do so much if they're creating tools for all the departments, not just housing, you know? And so it's the limitations of resources and manpower. And so that's where we got in and we did that research. We looked at the problem and we're like, okay, here's a possible area that you can implement a solution that can help, you know, alleviate some stress in one area and also help us gather some data that can be used for other innovations.
So this is the positive impact, right, of the Code for South Florida Brigade, right? Like, government does need help. And you'd be surprised, like you said, like even some of the biggest cities like Miami or even Atlanta, how they're still doing stuff super old school. But, you know, it's so great where you can have, you know, these community organizations like you guys come out and provide support, because this literally affects like millions of people's lives and throughout these cities. Yeah, that's just amazing, like what you guys have done with the Get Housing platform. Now, also, I've heard that you guys are doing some work during this time for COVID-19. So can you tell us about the project that Code for South Florida right now has on their hands?
So at any given time, we have a lot of projects, but, you know, with COVID-19 being impacting so many people, yeah. One of the projects that we're working on is the Florida.evictionprotection.org. And so we partnered up with a nonprofit, and we wanted to make sure that renters are aware of their rights within their city, within their municipality, within their county when it comes to eviction. And yeah. So we created a website that basically it has like a drop-down menu where you pick your county, and we list out like basically everything in terms of your rights you can expect, and we update it as it changes through our community partners. And so, you know, you can find out whether or not when the end date of, you know, your protection is for your particular city. And it's just to, yeah, make sure that renters in particular are aware of like what their rights are. So especially in this like crazy times that we're living in.
On the platform, is it just for cities in the state of Florida? Are you guys thinking about doing this for other states across the country?
Yes. So we built it out as an open source solution. A lot of everything that we try and build out through Code for South Florida are things that we're trying to build so that anybody else can go into the code. If you go to our GitHub, you can actually replicate it for your city. And so that's why you'll notice it says Florida. The subdomain is Florida. But our hope is that anybody else can access the README on our GitHub and replicate it in their city or in their state.
Perfect. That is awesome. And that's amazing too, especially when we have a time now when people are just getting their news from a Facebook retweet or you know, a Twitter tweet. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, no, let's actually figure out what are the facts here. So it's the Eviction Protection Program, I'm sure, is providing a lot of clarity for community down there in Miami.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes there's confusion because there's like your state rights and then your federal rights. And so this is just about laying out all that information so that you can, you know, even though the state is saying this, here are this is the federal guideline.
Yeah. And
so you can be just aware.
That's amazing. Now, Whitney, you are also the founder of The Startup Life. Can you talk to us about how and why you started the business and what services you offer?
So I started The Startup Life because, like I mentioned, prior to me actually becoming an engineer and actually coding for clients, I was on the other side. I was that person with the business who was looking for tech talent to help me build out my, you know, my big idea. And so, yeah. Like, I knew what that felt like being on that other end. You know, I've had projects where I spent thousands of dollars for a developer to build something. And then in the end, it didn't end up being what I wanted. And it definitely probably wasn't on the fault of the developer. It definitely was on my understanding of what I was building. It was like that lack of understanding of what I needed. And so when I finished my boot camp and, you know, I started getting people reaching out to me, can you help me build this? Can you help me build that? I was like, a lot of times what I realized, just because from my experience and then just hearing it on the other end as a developer, I was like, there has to be some type of education. So through The Startup Life, what I focus on is educating business owners on figuring out what is it that you exactly need for your what you're building. Sometimes we think we have to have something custom made, but that's not the case. There are ways to get what you need built that doesn't necessarily have to be custom coded from the ground up. And so I offer the consultations just to as an educational tool, and then guide them and direct them to a team of people who can actually help them do that.
And what I love about your story, Whitney, is that you said, I was once on the other end, right? So you're coming from both the experienced developer, but also the person who back in the day, like you had no idea what code even was right at that time in your life. And so a question that I have for you is, what advice do you have for the person right now who they have an idea and they're interested about learning how to code, but, you know, maybe they've never developed anything in their life, right? But maybe they had that experience similar to you where they spent thousands of dollars, or it's taken them months to try to find the right person to fit their team off for it to blow up in their face and it to not work out. What advice do you have for that entrepreneur, that person who, you know, is that dreamer and that thinker and that tinker?
So my advice is, I think understanding the architecture of what it is that you need to build, even if you, like, you don't need to necessarily know how to code it. You don't necessarily right. have to go to a boot camp, because that is definitely a financial investment. But there are online resources to help you to kind of figure it out. Like, not figure it out, but because that's so generic. There are ways for you to get a better understanding of what it is that your developers are actually doing, so that you can become more prepared to find out what type of developer you actually need, versus just thinking that every developer is well-versed in everything. You know, right. there's, you may need someone who's specialized in a specific type of technology that is specific to you, what you need, right? And so I think a lot of times we might not, you can go online on YouTube, you can go to free code, like the same tools that I would use as a developer. You can use those tools to just get familiar with the lingo, with, you know, the frameworks that are available. And if you have the resources, yeah, I would suggest doing a boot camp. My intention going into my boot camp was just to know what it is that I would be asking developers to be building, not necessary to just build it, right? It was just to know it, so that I know what to look for in a developer, right? And so if you can't afford it, yeah, I do think a bootcamp is a route that you could go. But if you can't, then the same online resources that developers use, I think those are things that you should explore, so that you just become familiar with the conversation and the lingo. And I've had clients, they don't know how to code, but they're familiar with like technology, and so they're able to be like they're able to guide me as a developer as I'm working on their projects a lot better. So that's the thing I think they should try and explore, just understanding the tools of the trade, and that will better help them figure out who to add to their team, who can actually help them accomplish what they're looking to have accomplished.
Absolutely. It just makes the process also just a lot more smoother, right? When you understand the process and the flow, like, you don't want to just, you know, go to the table and hiring anybody, and then you end up finding out like, oh, this person actually wasn't a specialist for the idea that I have. So really, really good points there.
Or the person is like using a tool that's probably not best suited for what you needed, you know, but it's what they're well versed in. So yeah,
absolutely. I agree. That's a really good point. And I've had clients come up to me and tell me that actually, where they hired a developer to build a project and the tool was functional, but it didn't have all the prerequisites and requirements that they needed for their project. So they had to end up building everything from scratch all over.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was my experience. Like, they built it, but what they built wasn't scalable. So it was just like, I was like stuck with it, and I was just like, I can't even use this and grow with it. So
scalable, that is a key word. And that leads me literally to our next question, which is, you know, we all know, right? Like, in business and tech, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, et cetera, you know, there's no story that is perfect, right? And the road of developing something, is great and, you know, is also narrow. But can you share a story about how you've had to pivot in business or in a project, and why did you pivot, and when did you know it was the right time to?
I would say with my first business, it was in the beauty space. I was selling hair extensions online. I mean, I've been selling hair for a while, like before there was a Wix, before there was a Squarespace. Like, I had like a Google cart on my Tumblr page and I was selling hair extensions. So like, I was always trying to figure out like ways to like use the internet to sell. And so eventually I set up a Wix, but at the time, this was early Wix, they didn't have like, you know, drop shippers or anything like that. And so I got frustrated with the whole fulfillment and logistic process. Like, I didn't want to have to do all that. When I realized that, like, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I knew I wanted to be within the beauty industry, but I had to make a pivot where I was like, look, I needed to do something a lot more impactful, and I wanted to actually be good at it. So I left the business. And that was like maybe a year prior to me deciding to go into tech and like actually coding. But the pivot part was more of just letting the whole business kind of like die and go away. Yeah. That was the pivot. It wasn't necessarily a pivot into a new business, but just like saying like this part of my life, like I was interested in this business at one point, but I'm not anymore. And just being okay with letting it go. Cause sometimes you don't want to be like a quitter. I don't want to be a quitter. Like I hold on to the last breath. It got to the point I was just like, is this something I want to do? Or is it my ego where I want it to like grow to a certain size and then go? But I was just like, I just don't love it anymore.
So we relate in so many different ways, and I get so excited, you know, because obviously this isn't our first conversation, but I also started my first startup was in the beauty industry. And so it was, you know, where I built a platform where we upcycled cosmetics so people could buy high-end beauty products between 60 to 80% off on average. And they could also earn money by selling their pre-owned products that they use once or twice. We, you know, developed the whole clean method and all this type of stuff. And I remember when I first started the company and I won a pitch competition where I won over 20 grand for the business, and I beat like 90 other businesses winning this money. Right. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm launching this. I'm so excited. And when you just, Whitney, when you just mentioned, talked about ego, you were like, oh, do I really want to do this business? Or is it just that I want to leave it after a certain point? That was totally me with that business. Like, I was excited about the idea. I thought the idea was very innovative. But the truth was, Whitney, like, I don't even wear makeup. Like, I'm natural, everything. Like, I don't wear anything with it. But when I decided that, you know, I'm no longer going to do this business anymore, it was very, very hard for me because I had been in the spotlight from it, like in the news, you know, winning money. And people are like, well, what happened now? You know, why is she, you know, switching the business? But I had to make a decision for me, and I had to realize like you, it's like similar to you, just like you, like I want to make a bigger impact in a different way. And it's okay to change. I struggle too with the, oh, am I a quitter? Am I a failure? And it's like, no, I'm not a failure. I'm actually just focused on my goals, and I'm going to implement it by any means necessary. So I totally relate to you in that way for sure.
Oh my God. You just spoke to me with that. Yes. That's exactly it. Like even, especially the part where you're like, I don't even wear makeup. Me neither. I was like, I don't even wear hair extensions. And like, I was just like, I was rocking my natural hair. Like I wasn't wearing hair extensions like that.
And it, because too, sometimes as founders, as developers, as creatives, we just get excited. Right. And I often talk to one of my really, really good close friends from college, Dominic Norton, and we were always talking about how, you know, we get really excited about projects, but sometimes I struggle with shiny object syndrome where I'm just like, oh, every idea I just want to implement. It's like, well, no, I also need to focus. And so now I feel like I'm more in my lane, even though I still have shiny object syndrome, but you know, I'm more focused now. But so Whitney, now you do so many awesome things. You working with Code for South Florida, you have your startups, you have all this developer experience. You know, you're killing it at Startup Life and all the contracts and helping to consult businesses, but you also are the founder of Haitians in Tech. Can you tell us about the organization and, you know, your dreams and your hopes and your vision for this organization and why you started it?
So Haitians in Tech definitely was a spur of the moment type of situation. It was definitely in part inspired by you, Women in Tech, but basically I went to AfroTech last year and I was just wowed and amazed by just like finding Haitians on like the West Coast. Okay. Like I was just like, oh my God, there's Haitians and they're in tech and they're in California. You know, like I'm just so used to knowing like Haitians in Miami and New York and like in Boston. Like those are like the areas in Rhode Island or something like that, I think. So like or New Jersey actually. I'm just used to knowing about Haitians in those areas. So to find Haitians in California and for them to be in the tech space and for them to be like, you know, at Twitter, at Pandora and leadership positions, it was just like, wow. And so when I came back home, I tried to just like do a simple Google search to find like maybe like an organization just so I could connect more with them. And I really couldn't find any like, I couldn't find that information aggregated in one place. And I guess I'm all about like data and just like things being like streamlined and funneled into one area and easily accessible. it wasn't easily accessible. Like I would have to have gone to like LinkedIn and looked up everybody with like a stereotypical Haitian last name in order to connect with them. And so I decided, let me launch Haitians in Tech. It's searchable, it's easy, and it's been really great. I've had Haitians just reach out to me like, oh my God, I've been waiting for this. And I was like, well, it's here. And so that's my new baby.
That's awesome. And, you know, it's important because you're starting, community is important, right? And especially when you're a minority in the industry, right? Like as Black women, as Black people in general, you know, the percentages are super low for us to be in this industry. Mm-hmm. But obviously we're changing that with the women, Haitians in Tech, with Afrotech, with Blavity, with these different organizations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm really excited for you. I know it's early stage with this, but I'm really excited for you. And I'm excited to see where Haitians in Tech is in the near future for sure.
Yeah, I'm really like, you know, like in the beginning of like your intro, you talk about like culture, like, yeah, women have to be in there because like we impact culture, right? And so the Haitian culture for me is like, I grew up with Haitian parents and the situation, a lot of us in the diaspora, we get impacted by the things that happen in Haiti. And part of my experience with Code for America was like, regular people coming together and they're actually building solutions. They're not necessarily trying to sell the solutions. They're building it and they're making it available to anyone so that the city, you get what I'm saying? So like, when I think of like how I can impact, you know, not only Haitians here, but Haitians in Haiti, I think about like the type of solutions that we can build and make available to solve a lot of the problems that are happening there. And sometimes like it's things that we take for granted, like just having a way to pay your taxes, you know, you know, just having a website just to pay your taxes. A lot of people who own property in Haiti, they don't even know how to do it. Like they don't know how to pay their taxes in Haiti. And so even just somebody building that platform out for the people in the diaspora, so they can do that in like virtually in Haiti without actually being in Haiti, like that's valuable for them. And so that's what I hope that we can like kind of like accomplish through Haitians in Tech, kind of bring that civic part of it, because that's kind of, that's the area that's really cemented my involvement in tech. It's the civic government tech part of it, that involvement through Code for South Florida. And then just, yeah, impacting the community that like I grew up in and that has influenced my outlook on life.
Well, you know, Whitney, you are such a powerhouse, and, you know, I just have this, I'm people always say, oh, she's a big encourager, but I'm really big on just pray, giving people, I always say giving people roses while they're alive. But, you know, just really, I get really excited when I get to meet founders, developers, creatives such as yourself, who are just doing some awesome things. I just have to say, you just have to keep going, keep doing what you're doing. And I'm just excited to support you in all of your endeavors. And for our interview is coming to a close. So one question that I have for you to wrap all of this up is, what are some final words that you have for our listeners out here?
My final words is just go for it. Like, you know, the guy who told me about my pedigree, like if I had let those words really like really dig deep and like settle into my subconscious, I would have done exactly what he said and just given up and told myself, okay, let me pursue something else. And it's okay to pursue something else if that's really what you want to do. I've stopped working on a business because I really wasn't interested in it. But I had that conversation with internally with myself to ask myself, like, what is it that I want to pursue? And as long as that drive and that feeling is still there, I kept on going and I just went for it. And so I always continue to say yes to whatever feels right. And I think we shouldn't be intimidated by like the height of what we're trying to accomplish. It's just a journey. And so saying yes is just about like that part is the thing to really applaud about yourself, to feel proud about yourself, is that you said yes when the opportunity came. So
that's amazing. Whitney, it has been such a pleasure to have you on the show. You seriously are a powerhouse. You guys, we always do this whenever we have a guest on the show. We have all of their social media links and everything on the website. So you can go to huaweitech.com/podcast and you will be able to see Whitney there, and you'll be able to follow her on her social media platforms, and also the links to affordable housing and the eviction protection program website is also there, so you can go check out what Code for South Florida is doing. Whitney, thank you so much for being on the show today. You were an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much, Ariana. Thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And you guys, don't forget to hit subscribe to the podcast. Share this with your friends, your mama and them, your cat, your dog. It's your girl, Ariana, signing out. We'll talk to you next week.